Well, if you can turn with me in God's Word to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, reading verses 1 down to verse 3. And a favourite portion of Scripture of mine, and certainly a verse that I leave with you each time. If I write something, this is a verse that I leave. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1 to 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came on to Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call on to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. We know the Lord will add the blessing to the reading of his word. In thinking in our series on the doctrine of God, and coming tonight to the study of the infinity of God, my heart was drawn to this passage, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. The reason being, when we speak of the infinity of God, or to put it another way, God is infinite, we mean that God is unlimited, unrestricted, and unbounded. The Shorter Catechism, question 4, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. In all those perfections that we have just mentioned, God is infinite in each and every one of them. His wisdom is infinite. Yea, we could even say his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, goodness, and truth are eternal, infinite, and unchanging. They are unrestricted, unlimited, and unbounded. In considering redemption, and as we think even about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood has infinite value to save the vilest offender who truly believes in him by faith alone. Infinite power to reach the hardest sinner and blot out every sin. Infinite power to revive any believer, any place, and any people. Infinite power to change this city of London and the area where this church is. That's why when you think about the infinity of God, or our God is infinite, William Carey thrilled on this. And that's why even every missionary and every minister who serves the Lord, it encourages them to know that in a day when things seem impossible, with God all things are possible. William Carey, a great missionary, said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And that can only be true if we believe God to be infinite, God to be unrestricted, unbounded, and unlimited. And so ever keep that before you. Whenever you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you're praying for people, whenever you're praying for a particular place, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And I wonder every time we come to God's house, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, whenever we think about the work of God in this house, yea, whenever we come to the prayer meetings, is it just seen as another meeting to turn up to? Or do we come with this thought, I'm coming on Sunday to expect great things from God. And I attempt great things for God and on prayer meetings. It's important for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ever to keep this truth before us in any generation and for any situation. Because there are times, like the children of Israel, we put restrictions and limitations on God. We, as it were, box God in. We live and we pray as if God can only do so much and nothing more. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 41, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. That was the Lord's own people. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And so to limit God is to restrict him. It's to bring him down to our thinking. It's to lower him down to the feebleness of our mind. Because when we look at something, we see it as impossible, unpassable, no way through. And so we bring God down to our level and we think, you know what? Because I see no hope in this situation, God's not going to be able to move or intervene in this situation. And such is to limit and restrict God. But as we think about God who is infinite, the infinity of God, God is not limited as we are. God is not restricted as we are restricted. Rather, God is free from all and every limitation. Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Again, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. God is not limited by space. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God is not limited by time. Psalm 147, verse 5. God is not limited by understanding because his understanding is infinite. And that brings us then to Jeremiah chapter 33. The words of the Lord spoken to Jeremiah the prophet while he was bound up, while he was hindered, while he was restricted, while he was limited in prison. Jeremiah was placed in prison for faithfully proclaiming the word of God. Zedekiah did not receive the message. You read that in chapter 32. Verses 1 to 5, all this talk about the enemy coming, God sending the Babylonian, permitting them to come and take the people into captivity because a result of the people's backsliding. He did not want to listen to this message. And so he refused it and put Jeremiah, as Jeremiah 32, verse 2 states, Jeremiah was shut up in the court of the prison. Jeremiah is bound, restricted, hindered to prison. Zedekiah thinks that the message of God will not come to pass. Get rid of God's man. Get rid of the message. Silence the preacher. Silence the message. That is the thinking. Chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah's situation has not changed. Jeremiah was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And that word yet means that Jeremiah's restriction, his limitation, his binding is still going on. Nothing has changed. Jeremiah is still in prison. But in such times of restriction, from Jeremiah's point of view, the Lord was not restricted because the Lord came to Jeremiah with a word. And that, as we learn, and again is repeated, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That was based on chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. We know through scripture, the Lord kept his promise. He brought the people out of captivity, back to the land he had chosen to place his name, the land he had covenanted to Abraham and his seed. You read the books of Ezra. You read the book of Nehemiah and many of the other prophets, and you will see that promise being fulfilled when they came back in their groups and rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls. So while Jeremiah physically is restricted, he is bound in prison, yet he comes and depends upon the word. The Lord has a word for Jeremiah. While Jeremiah is limited, the Lord is not limited. And while Jeremiah is bound, God's word and God's promises are never bound. And so God comes to Jeremiah to remind him again, call upon me, bring my truth back to me. Jeremiah, the word that I've told you about, the promises that I've given you, while the people will go into captivity, I'll bring them back out again. Bring that truth before me. Call on to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Because in Jeremiah's mind, he's wondering, how is this all going to work out? He could never fully comprehend how God will work, how God will move. And again, you read the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and you will see how God providentially, here's where all the lessons come bit by bit. Last week, remember, we looked at the providence of God. God working behind the scenes. God being ahead. God ordering everything, even before Jeremiah's thinking. How is this going to happen? How's God going to bring the people out? How's he going to take them back to the homeland? God had already it all arranged. Everything was already taken. All God says, Jeremiah, I know what I'm going to do, and I will do what I'm going to do. But what I want you to do is just call upon me what I'm going to do. I want you to bring back my truth before me in prayer. Jeremiah, call upon me, because I will show you that I hear and answer prayer. I will do great things, things you can't even imagine. You're wondering there, how's this going to happen? How's it going to plan out? How's it going to work out? Jeremiah, you leave that to me. Just you call upon the truth. Lord, do as you've said. Lord, you've said you'll bring your people back out. Lord, bring them back out again. I don't know how. I don't know what way it's going to take place. But Lord, you've said you're going to do it. Lord, do it for your name's sake. And that's the truth. That's the infinity of God. He is infinite. You see, we think about this work here in London. God reviving his work. God moving among us. And we begin to wonder and think, how is it all going to take place? And could God really work in this area? And we begin to get our minds in the bondage, and we're just bound in. And as we said, we restrict God to our thinking. We look around us and we think, you know, I just don't know how it's going to happen. Therefore, Lord, I just don't see you able to move. But that's restricting God. That's limiting God. Rather, he tells us, bring his truth before him. Again, he's promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Therefore, that's coming back to God saying, do as you have said. Even in this city, with its heathenism, its wickedness, its compromising, its casuality, Lord, come and move among us. And so God comes to Jeremiah, call upon me. And it is really the last part of the phrase I want to think upon tonight, where after the Lord says, after he answers, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's where we come to the infinite God, because that's what we want to look at tonight. So notice some thoughts. The infinity of God is announced. In taking the whole statement, the Lord says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The word show means to announce by word, to testify, declare, to make it known publicly. And so God is declaring to Jeremiah, nothing can limit me. No power of hell, no scheme of man can restrict me, hinder me, hold me back. I will do what I said I will do. I will fulfill my word. God was announcing to Jeremiah, not what he hoped to do, not what he would try to do, but rather what he will do, what he has promised to do, and to do it publicly. And we know again as we read the books of the Bible, we see how God moved mightily in the midst. And the big demonstrations, they left literally, they walked out, and God did this publicly. It was a testimony. Go back and build the house of God. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Therefore, believer, every time we open up the word of God, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. I want you to grasp that. Whenever you close the book, you close God's word to you. You close God's message for you. We need to have the Bible open. We need to be reading the word of God. The word of the Lord comes to us, declaring who our God is. He is infinite, unlimited, infinite, unrestricted, infinite in all his plans, purposes, protection, promises, power, provisions, and providence. He does not promise something that he is unable to perform because of some obstacle. When he leads his people, he does so by the perfect way. He never leads a way that he cannot make a way forward. He is infinite. When he caused the children of Israel to leave Egypt, remember that scene? They came to the Red Sea and it seemed a dead end. It seemed no way forward. In fact, at the Red Sea, the people began to do what only they could do, to bring God down to their level, in their weakness, in their finite capacity, to restrict God. And what did they say? Instead of trusting God, what did they say? Exodus 15, verse 12. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Do you know what? It's better. Let's just turn back and go back to Egypt. Go back to bondage. Go back to being slaves because we've been brought here. God's brought us here. There's the Red Sea before us. The mountains are on either side of us. The enemy's behind us. There's no way. We're restricted. We're bounded. We're limited. Nothing can be done apart from going back. They limited the Lord. However, God came to Moses in Exodus 15, verse 16. What was the message? Go forward. But how can we? The sea's there. The mountains on either side. Go forward. Go forward. And here's the time to trust God, to take God at his word. Here's, I will show thee. I will declare something to you publicly, something that you can see, that you can witness. And what was that? The parting of the Red Sea. That word, show. I will show thee great and mighty things. That was something they seen before their eyes. The sea departing, splitting, dividing in half, and they marched right through to the other side. I will show thee great and mighty things. It was announced, go forward. You see, a people who goes forward is a people who will see great and mighty things. You imagine, if the people had gone backward that day, they would not have seen the great and mighty thing God would have done that day. They would have missed the blessing. And you don't read your Bible. You don't trust God. You don't come expecting God to move. And you will miss great and mighty things which you know not. Things that God can do beyond our imagination, our thinking. He is able. God, we learn in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, remembered his covenant. Jeremiah prays over the ground of what God did. Jeremiah 32, verse 21, 23. And remember, Jeremiah is in prison. And there's no better thing to do in a time of trouble than to pray God's word. Lord, what you've done in the past. Because that's what Jeremiah does. He goes over the history of God's dealings. And that's what you ought to do in a time of trouble, in a time of a hardship, a trial, whatever it may be, when you do feel your back's against the wall and you are in a tight place. Begin to quote the word of God. Go back through, hear, Lord, what you've done before. You've done great things. What does Jeremiah say? Thou hast brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. Thou hast given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it. And the whole point is this. Jeremiah is praying over what God did when he brought the people out of Egypt and brought them into the land. And so Jeremiah is saying, Lord, you're able to do it again. You did it once. You brought them out of Egypt and brought us to the land. And Lord, you'll be able to bring us out of Babylon back into the land, just as you've done it in the past. Lord, you're able to do it again. And here's the point. God has sent revival to this nation in days gone by, and God is able to do it again. God is able to revive London. God is able to move again. God is able to fill this church full, even on a Wednesday night, even on a Sunday. God is able to move again on his people. But we have to expect it. We have to believe it. We have to trust in God. Now, you look around you and you say, will it ever be done? But that's to come and restrict God. We have to come and say, Lord, here's what you've done in the past. Lord, do it again. Lord, yea, do greater. Move among us. Because, Lord, you are able. And like I said, we can all sit and think about how this can be done. But the Lord is able to move among us. What one man said, remember one of our college professors always used to say, the church doesn't need more meetings. We just need the power of God at the meetings we have. And that's true. Oh, if we had a meeting on Tuesday night, the Lord would come. You know, if we had another meeting on Thursday, we've got Monday so far. Let's get one on Tuesday. And we have Wednesday. Now let's get Thursday going. Let's get Friday. No. We just need the Lord to move among us in the meetings that we have. Notice secondly, the infinity of God is assured. Now, I will briefly summarize these because we will go into this in greater detail. This will be the next step in thinking of God's infinity. The infinity of God is assured. It's assured by his omnipresence. The word omnipresence is made up of two words. The prefixed omni or omni means all, and obviously the word presence. And so putting the two words together, God's omnipresence God is omnipresent means God is everywhere present. So you think of God's omnipresence or omnipresent means God is everywhere present. God is spirit, eternal, therefore infinite, everywhere present at once. There is no aspect of time, space that God does not fill. He is present in all places and all times. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Even here in prison, restricted, bounded, the Lord presents himself with Jeremiah and he speaks a word to them or to him. And that ought to encourage us, believer, that the Lord is able to come with a word to our hearts. He is omnipresent. He is with us here tonight. When we go home, we learn Matthew 18, verse 20, whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We look around such a small crowd tonight, and yet the Lord is here, and that to bless. The Lord's presence is with us. He is already here. Zedekiah thought he could stop Jeremiah from proclaiming the message, God's word getting out, but he could never stop Jeremiah calling upon the Lord. And Jeremiah calls upon the Lord. He does what God says, call upon me, I will answer and show thee great and mighty things. Notice it's also assured by his omnipotence. The word omnipotent is made up of, again, two words. The prefix omni or omni, again meaning all, and the word potens, which means power. And so putting the words together, when you speak of the omnipotence of God or omnipotent, means God is all-powerful. God is almighty. And that is meant by this word great. I will show thee great things. The word great, as you have before you in Jeremiah chapter 33, has the idea of beyond restriction, beyond limitation. I will show you great things, things that are unbounded, unlimited, great things. Jeremiah, it means this here. Jeremiah, the things that you can't do, I am able to do. Those things that are beyond human reach, I am able to do. God announces, they may be beyond you, but be assured they are not beyond me. Again, previously the Lord in speaking to Jeremiah about future events and the nation's return, Jeremiah 32, verse 26 and 27, the word of the Lord came on to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There is God's infinity before you. Is there anything too hard for me? That's the Lord saying to Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? And that's assured by his omnipotence. I'm almighty, Jeremiah. I'm all powerful. Nothing's too hard for me. Again, this word great, I will show thee great and mighty things. The word great is the exact same word used in Exodus 15 when Israel crossed over the Red Sea. Remember, whenever the sea divided, they can see this great thing before them. And they march over on the dry ground. And whenever they get to the other side, not one of them are lost. They're all brought over. And again, there's a great teaching of God's eternal security. He will always deliver all his people. Not one for who God delivers will ever be lost. I want you to grasp that. They all go through the other side. But whenever the enemy's coming through after them, whenever the last person is safely brought over into the other side, the Lord closes the sea upon the Egyptians. The enemy is destroyed. And again, there's another picture, isn't it? And the Lord comes back. There's a picture there. The great day of separation. His people will be safely with him, but those who are his enemies will be destroyed. We learn in Exodus 14, verse 31, of that occasion. And Israel, here's the word, saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, his servant Moses. That word great is the exact same word used in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. What is impossible for you is not impossible for me. What is limited to you is not limited to me. I'm able to do great things, things beyond you. There's no way you could go through the Red Sea yourself, but I make the way through. No way you could defeat the enemy, but I defeat them for you. The Lord moves in great power. He showed them this before their eyes, this great thing. Oh, and that's what we pray for here in London. Lord, show us great things here in London. Show us what you can do. Lord, show us your power. Again, whenever they did this, the people believed the Lord. And therefore, may the Lord come and send us a great movement. Again, this is assured. The Lord is infinite by his omniscience. Again, the word omniscience is made up of two words. The prefix omni, meaning all, and the word science, meaning knowledge. And this word science, or meaning knowledge, comes from the verb meaning to know. And so putting the words together, God's omniscience means God is all-knowing. I want you to grasp that. And again, we'll go through these in greater detail. This is just summarizing them. His knowledge, his sight, his understanding of all things is infinite. He is unrestricted and unlimited. You have a margin in your Bible. That phrase in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, I will show thee great and mighty things. The word mighty things means hidden things. If you have that in your Bible, the margin and the reference, the Hebrew, means that which is hidden, hidden things, or fenced in. Those things that are not accessible to man, but hidden, they're out of sight. The idea is taken in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 5, when Israel were to go and claim the city. We learn all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates and bars, beside unwalled towns, a great many. The occasion in view is when Israel defeated King of Bashan in battle. But for them to go to those cities, the Lord revealed that which was hidden. He revealed the hidden cities. And so by that, he did mighty things. He revealed that which was hidden. The Lord made that which was hidden to be seen. Again, the same word is translated in Psalm 119, verse 18. Again, you've used this word in prayer many, many times. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That word wondrous is the same word. Hidden things, mighty things. So you could read it that way. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things, hidden things, mighty things out of thy law. And the psalmist there is simply asking God to reveal what is already there. He's not looking for new revelation because he has it before him. Rather, he wants God to show him in Scripture these great truths to be enriched by. Just as the Savior said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. The one who digs deep into the Word of God will see and behold wondrous things, mighty things, hidden things. How many times have people, you've heard this, they've read the Bible, you've done it yourself, you've read the Bible many times, and you've gone through a verse of Scripture. But maybe the second time you come back to that Scripture, all of a sudden it jumps out at you, or it impacts you. Or maybe you've heard a verse, or you've heard a message about a verse, and again you hear that same verse again, and this time it's like the light bulb comes on. And like, I've never seen that before. I never got that, didn't realize that. And I've read that verse many times. I've heard sermons on that many times. And yet this was the first time I actually got it. You've seen those hidden things, those wondrous things. The Lord has revealed it to you. Mighty things. God is eternal. He knows the beginning from the end. And so here to Jeremiah, he shows that he will do great and mighty things. Things that Jeremiah can't even see, can't even think how that will be done. That which is hidden to him, he just can't grasp it, how this is all going to plan out bit by bit. But God says, I will show you great and mighty things. That which you cannot see, it will be brought to light. Now, obviously, Jeremiah didn't get to see it. But in a sense, as he prayed over it, the people who he prayed around, they were able to see it and they were able to leave that land. Notice, finally, the infinity of God is abundant. All that Jeremiah has heard from the Lord, how the Lord will bring his people back, the Lord says, it will be great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We will never fully comprehend the infinity of God. It is, as Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He supplies all for every situation. He is able to do above all that we can ask or think, things that we know not how it's going to be done. The Lord is able to do it. Again, read Ezra, Nehemiah, other books, and you see how it's all brought together. God moving mightily. One person said this, God knows what needs to be done. That is his omniscience. He has the power to do what needs to be done. That is his omnipotence. And he's always, and he will always be there to do what needs to be done. That is omnipresence. Therefore, all we can say is, what a mighty God we serve. As the children's chorus says, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And that's what basically the message is to Jeremiah. There's nothing I cannot do. I have said I will bring the people. Yeah, I've said they'll go into Babylon. After 70 years, I will bring them out. Call upon me about that. I will answer about that and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I am able to do it. And therefore, as we come to pray for people not well, to raise them up, if we come to pray for souls not saved, we come to pray for backslidden believers, we come to pray for God to revive his church, we come to pray for God to move in London, I want you to know the Lord is infinite. He's unrestricted. He's not bounded. He's able to do, even in this day of darkness, wickedness, spiritual declension, he's able to do great and mighty things which thou knowest not, for his honour and for his glory. Amen.